The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Dr. James Kimmel Jr. is a JD. He is a lecturer in psychiatry at the Yale School of Medicine. He is a researcher, a novelist. His newest book is The Science of Revenge. Welcome to the show, James.
Thank you, George. Pleasure to be here. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on. Tell me a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yes. Well, why do I do what I do? That's a great question. My answer to that has to start back many years ago. Actually, I was raised on a farm in central Pennsylvania. And in my teenage years in high school, a group of guys from surrounding farms took a disliking to me and started bullying me pretty severely over time. Started with, you know, just verbal insults and things like that. But as we got older in our teenage years, it became, kind of smacking me around when they could, tripping me, getting on and off the bus or going down the hallway, punching and kicking me every once in a while. So it wasn't a great experience there in high school to that point, but it was, it was tolerable until this. So late one night, my family and I, we were all asleep, and I heard a vehicle come to a halt in front of our farm, which is on a one-lane country road. And after a few moments of silence, there was a gunshot. And, we all woke up, jumped out of the bed, and I saw this pickup truck outside, which was very familiar to me. It was owned by one of the guys that had been bullying me for those couple of years. And we looked around the house and didn't see any damage or anything like that, and eventually went back to sleep. Well, one of my jobs in the morning, every morning, was to go out and take care of our animals. We had some, cattle and hogs, and we also had this beautiful, sweet little beagle named Paula. And when I went up to feed her in her pen, I found her dead in a pool of blood with a bullet hole in her head. It was terrible. It was kind of this John Wick kind of real life experience for me. This was way before John Wick, though. My folks, they called the they called the state police. They didn't do anything. This was in the 80s. It was kind of like kids will be kids. It's a shame. Sorry, everybody's hurt. Feels bad about it, but it was a dog and we're going to move on. So they did. A couple of weeks later, I was home by myself, kind of late at night. And I heard a vehicle pull up and stop in front of our house again. And as I went to the window to see what was going on, I saw that same pickup truck, but this time there was a flash and an explosion, and they blew up our mailbox and like just launched it into the middle of a cornfield. And that was about it for me. I couldn't take any more of it. I wanted it to stop and I wanted revenge. And since we lived on a farm, I'd been hunting and shooting guns since I was probably about 8 years old, and we had plenty of guns, and my dad had a loaded handgun that he kept in his nightstand. And I ran after it, got it, jumped in my mother's car, and I went after these guys, just driving as fast as I could through the night, just shouting in rage. And I finally caught up to them and chased them down a lane and caught them, kind of pinned them against a barn. And there were about three or four of them in their pickup truck, and they, kind of got out and looked back, squinting through my high beams, trying to figure out who had just chased them, because it took me a little bit of time to catch up to them. And it was very clear that they were confused and curious and that they were unarmed. And they did not know that I had a gun. And I grabbed the gun and I opened the door and I started to step out of the car. And at that second, I just had this little flash of insight that if I did what I wanted very much to do, I'd be killing the person that I knew I was. And I would be forever somebody different than the Jim or Jimmy or James Kimmel that I knew myself to be. And that bit of insight was just enough to cause me to stop and hesitate and then take my hand off the gun and close the door and drive home. Thank God. But it was clear to me that night and in those moments and in the hours and days afterward that I had been given a great gift. And the gift was that I didn't become a murderer, which is what I had intended to do. And so I've spent most of the rest of my adult life trying to understand why we want to hurt the people who hurt us, what revenge is about. At the brain biological level now. I've studied it from all directions. I became a lawyer actually after this incident because I wasn't done with getting revenge. I just didn't want to pay such a high price for it, right? I didn't want to either go to jail or get killed for it, but I sure as heck wanted it. And that led me into the law and into what I thought was an addiction to revenge seeking. And now today, having become a revenge and violence researcher, I have proof that that's what exactly happens to people. We become addicted to revenge.
What a story. Holy cow.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Whew. Yeah, it was a pretty traumatic time.
What percentage of Hollywood is about that? It's not 5, it's probably a pretty good chunk, right? Retribution, John Wick. I want the bad guys to get what's coming to them. We all want that.
We do. So evolutionary scientists have theorized and they have good evidence for it that we've evolved, we humans have evolved to get enormous pleasure and reward from seeking revenge against people who hurt us or those we care about. And this can be whether the hurt that we experience, whether it's an insult or mistreatment or shame, humiliation, or victimization of any kind, that is very painful inside our brains. And our brains actually derive enormous pleasure, whether it's that a manufactured, imagined pain or real. We get great pleasure from seeking revenge. And Hollywood knows this. Actually, I cover this in part in my book, The Science of Revenge. I talked to a former chair of Disney Studios who acknowledges that, you know, the revenge plot, that plot, you know, you wound the audience first. You want to victimize people because we all humans are very empathic. So if somebody that we like on the screen is suddenly harmed, we feel that pain. And that person, the character, is feeling pain. So we're all feeling pain. And then we're all starting to crave revenge. Neurologically, that's what's occurring. And man, that just sells tickets in a big, big way. It's as he said, you know, it always works. A revenge plot always brings in audience. And that's through kids' films, adult films, it doesn't matter. It's always reliable.
But that's not serving us, potentially. What is it? It's something is it envy? Is it revenge? It's drinking poison and expecting the other person to die? Something like that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that quote, right. That's the revenge. I'm drinking the poison of revenge and I'm expecting, you know, you to die. And that's not doesn't work. So what we know at that level, George, is that the way this all works, and I think it's helpful to understand this, and it was a huge revelation for me. It's been a big discovery in science, and that's why I've written a book about it. So the big discovery here is that your brain on revenge looks like your brain on drugs. That's number one. Number two, how does that work? So a grievance activates the pain network inside your brain, and your brain hates pain. So your brain wants pleasure to counteract the pain, and it'll try to do that to bring itself back into balance. And the way it does this is it activates the reward and pleasure circuitry of addiction and causes you to start craving revenge, which is craving to inflict pain on the other person. But the problem is, although this is all uses the same drug circuitry that's afflicting so many people in society with substance abuse and substance use disorders, with revenge, the only way you can gratify your craving is by hurting somebody else. I mean, that is the craving is to hurt other people, hurt or kill them. And so you have another part of your brain. The last part of this is the self-control circuitry that's there to stop you from doing things like that. That was there, thank goodness, that night for me at that last second and stopped me from getting out of the car and firing that gun. But if that circuitry is hijacked or inhibited or disabled or not available for any reason, there's almost nothing to stop you from gratifying that craving. And that's when you move from wanting revenge to becoming addicted to it, which is to say, unable to resist the temptation or the urge to gratify that craving. And that's how normal people, they're not evil, they're just people. And with the right set of feelings of pain and grievance, combined with this strong desire to retaliate and no, and the unavailable control circuitry, when that occurs, normal people can become extremely violent, dangerous human beings.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Maytag laundry appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your home's unique needs and style. Shop Maytag 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Which we know happens all the time.
Right, right. And so, you know, I say in the book, there are really no senseless acts of violence. There are the science of revenge that we now have explains that the violence that we see daily in our society and the nonviolent forms of revenge that are going on incessantly, whether it's political grievances and political revenge or interpersonal relationships with, you know, intimate partners, children, parents, workplaces, schools, wherever it is, you know, all of that is part of this explainable process. And now that we know why it happens, we can use established and easily readily available techniques for controlling it, addiction strategies that work for reducing craving and improving or reactivating the control circuitry to help people resist these urges to hurt themselves and other people. And there's one actually very powerful brain circuit that you can activate at any time to take yourself right out of this experience of revenge, craving, and pain, and bring yourself back to a state of calm within seconds. Want to hear about it?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. I thought you might. So what it is, it turns out, is forgiveness. Now, you know, in society, we think of forgiveness as some kind of spiritual thing. It's the way, you know, that maybe I become a pious or a good person. But neurologically, it's not about that at all. Neurologically, here's what happens inside your brain when you forgive. Number one, it quiets the pain network circuitry. So when you forgive somebody or a grievance, you don't have to forgive the person, just the grievance, you are silencing that pain that is causing you such enormous discomfort inside your brain. In addition, neuroscience shows us that it also quiets the revenge craving circuitry. So it actually reverses both parts of this revenge seeking and gratification process. And then number three, it reactivates the control circuitry, just what you need to stop yourself from making these terrible decisions. So what it really turns out to be is that forgiveness benefits you, the victim and the forgiver, far more than it does the perpetrator who harmed you. It doesn't matter. You don't even have to tell the perpetrator who harmed you that you've forgiven them. All you need to do is imagine, and anybody can do this right now. You can close your eyes and just for a second, imagine, you don't have to forgive it or forgive a person or a grievance. Just close your eyes and imagine forgiving it. The experience you'll feel at that instant is instant relief. There's this relief that comes off your shoulders. We've studied this multiple times and people just experience and they can't resist it because, I mean, people have been seriously victimized, gang rapes, all kinds of terrible things have happened to them. But when you ask them, just imagine forgiving, they will say, oh, I guess I feel relief right now. And then it's just a matter of doing that over and over again until you've calmed this circuitry in your brain.
So it's not obvious to me what that means to forgive. And how do I say, I forgive you, but do I really? How do I square that in my head so I believe it, if I'm asking the right questions?
I think that's a great question. And that's why it's better to not think about forgiving you or a person, but to just go in your mind and go, I'm letting this go. Close your eyes and imagine, I'm done with this now. I forgive it. It's gone. I'm no longer, let me put it this way, for some people, it's helpful to think of it this way. I'm no longer going to seek justice in the form of revenge. I'm going to give that piece up. As soon as you make that decision, you've activated all of that circuitry that I've just mentioned. You've calmed the pain, you're calming the craving, and you're activating the power decision-making that you need. And so you could think about forgiveness in that way and not in a more complex or a spiritual way. It can be all of those things too, but neurologically, to get the benefit you need from it today, right now, that's all you need to do. And it works.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's really that's helpful and really powerful. You have a sense of how many people are carrying around this negativity and desire for revenge. And I imagine that has an impact. I'm sure that I'm carrying around resentment or anger or desire to get back at somebody probably for decades.
Absolutely. So great question. And here are the answers. So when scientists ask the question, can you recall anybody in a large group population, can you recall strong revenge desires recently? Between 50% and 90% of the people say, yes, I can recall, meaning I've had a desire to retaliate against somebody because of a grievance recently. However, with regard to addiction and losing control, we know from other studies in the addiction field that about 20%, only 20% of people who try, let's say, a narcotic actually become addicted to it. So that's 20%. And it seems likely, although it hasn't been studied yet, that that'll probably carry over for revenge addiction as well, because about 20% of people can become pathologically aggressive, for instance. And in mouse studies, where this has been studied, about 20% of mice appear to become addicted to a form of revenge or pathological aggression. So it's probably likely that 20% of us, and this is lifetime, right? So it's not like these 20% of the people are at all times representing a danger to themselves or society. They're not. But during your lifetime, they may become or enter into an addictive state with regard to revenge seeking, even though up to 90% of us are feeling revenge cravings. And I'll give you this quote from, I just love this quote from Sigmund Freud, who said that daily and hourly, we are constantly doing away with the people who, and I'm not just paraphrasing the quote here, but the people who harm or offend us in our subconscious. Mm-hmm. So even in our subconscious, we're always ruminating about our grievances. We're getting offended. And remember, there's no judge of what is a real grievance. So whatever's hurtful to you is hurtful to you, even if it wouldn't be to me. So there could be an infinite number of infinitely reproducing grievances happening all the time in this world. The number of people who can feel offended times the number of thoughts that they can be having at any moment. It's a big number. And to prevent and treat violence then, you know, it's helpful to try and reduce things that cause people grievances, you know, injustices and betrayals and all sorts of things. But we'll never really tamp down on an infinite number of grievances. But what we can do is focus on how all of those grievances, regardless of form, channel into the one same universal neurological experience of grievance triggering revenge desire, triggering a desire to hurt or harm the person who hurt you. That we can work on, and we have techniques for doing that, like forgiveness, but also all of the other addiction techniques that you've heard of, you know, motivational interviewing and cognitive behavioral therapy and counseling and self-help 12-step programs, all of those things, even medications. Eventually, you know, we'll see GLP-1 drugs and other anti-craving medications, I believe, will become useful in helping people control some of these really pathological and serious revenge desires that ruin their lives and often lives of the people around them.
Because that's what it does when taken to its fullest extent. Like your experience, had you gotten out of the car with the gun, and we probably wouldn't be having this conversation today, and you wouldn't have gone on to do all the wonderful things that you did, and every human being probably walking around, whether they take it to the full extent, we're still carrying around with us negativity. And that's, I only have so much bandwidth. I only have so much thought processing. So if it's locked up with things that are not, I don't want to call it nonsense, but my desire for revenge, instead of if I could just let it go, that would be a better thing for me.
That's correct. Yeah, you're right. Couldn't agree more. So we've made good progress.
Ah,
took 5,000 years to get here, but we're here now. So maybe we could do something about it, right?
Yeah. How long did it take you to write the book?
You know, the book, well, if you want to count my whole life from age 17 to now, that's one answer. But the actual, when I decided this book needs to be written and I have to be the one who does it, it took me probably a year. But that had been based on 20 prior years of research. So it's a little misleading to think of it that way.
No, sure. I mean, I'm sure it was almost an impossible feat to boil it down and to, you know, to so much that you could have put in that you left out. So I appreciate that. Well, James, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for all of your work. Thank you for sharing your story. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage? Most importantly, where can they get their copy of The Science of Revenge?
Yeah. So The Science of Revenge, it comes out on May 27th, and it'll be available in all bookstores, you know, online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, everything. So it's really, you know, easily available. There'll also be an audio and a digital version of it as well. But you can also check me out on my website, which has a lot of free information and some interesting stuff, including like a quiz that you can take to learn how often you think about revenge seeking and maybe some ways of managing that. And that's that website is www.jameskimmeljr.com. That's jameskimmeljr.com.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show James your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Get your copy of The Science of Revenge wherever you buy your books. And go to jameskimmeljr.com and take that quiz, because if you're like me, I bet you are ruminating way too much on past indiscretions, and working to get past it is a benefit for everybody. Thanks again, James.
Thank you so much, George. It was a great conversation. Really appreciate it.
Agreed. Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Maytag laundry appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your home's unique needs and style. Shop Maytag 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.